Father, we praise you for the joy that wells up in our hearts as you do inhabit the praises of Israel. Make yourself at home among us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing on in this Christmas Epiphany narrative, I'm going to read a few verses from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. Now, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended, and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. Well, this is the left behind part of the story. And we touched on this, I think, the first morning we were together. But here you have the eternal Son of God who had to have just felt like he'd found home. He was in his father's house and he begins conversing with the elders and their wisdom. And apparently he, arresting their attention with his, he was at home as the eternal Son of God there in that space. But also he was a 12-year-old son of man, abandoned. Now think about the time that goes by. They travel a day's journey. And I love that. I heard this from Bill Gaither years ago. I thought this was wonderful. He said, "How often do we travel more than a day's journey supposing he is in our midst? Supposing that he's in proximity. We go off on all kinds of journeys and business thinking that he's in the crowd. But because we haven't kept our eyes on him, we've lost track." But think of the time that goes by. They travel a whole day and then they figure out that he's not there. Then they turn around and go back. And I don't know if it's a total of 3 days or if it's 1 day plus three, but you've got 3 or 4 days that this 12-year-old boy, yes, the eternal Son of God, and being that at peace, loving the dialogue, learning, expressing, being, all that good stuff. But the 12-year-old boy abandoned. Have you ever been abandoned? There are all different kinds of abandonment, of course. There's physical abandonment, emotional abandonment, spiritual, financial. I can't remember if I alluded to this our first morning together or not, but I have a niece who is married to a guy who is one of 12 children. And one of those kids got left at a service station where they'd stopped for gas and soft drinks while they were on a trip somewhere. And about a half hour went by before they realized, they were supposing he was in their midst. Left him, turned around and went back. Now that kid, that kid's soul was struck with terror. If you've ever been abandoned, you know what that feels like. And I don't mean just physical abandonment. If we could all hear our stories, I bet we've had some people in here who've been physically left behind somewhere. But most of us, if that's not been the case, we've felt emotionally abandoned or abandoned in some way by someone that we cared about. I was coming in this morning and found a country radio station that was playing one of those wonderful old Ray Charles recordings whenever he went through his country phase. I can't stop loving you. I've made up my mind. Oh boy, what nostalgia. I remember when he recorded those songs and they were popular on the radio, and I loved seeing it in the movie, that great biopic of his life. But they put something, they put a quote in Ray Charles' mouth in the movie that originally came, I believe, from Charlie Parker, the one they call Bird, the incredible alto saxophonist that was really the father of bebop. Charlie Parker would irk all of his jazz buddies. Jazz people typically aren't that fond of country music. Am I right? And Charlie Parker would constantly be putting nickels in the jukebox there in New York, where bebop was being born. And he would be playing all these country records, spinning country records on the jukebox. And his friends would say, Bird, what are you doing, man? Have you gone crazy? And he would say, listen to the stories. Listen to the stories, man. In the lyrics of those country songs. He loved the stories. Well, this probably will be redundant, but I'm going to share a story out of my past that I shared last session we were together. And these are all the stories I have, so you can tell when somebody gets old, they start telling the same stories over and over. But this story fits in with what we're talking about today. In the early days of Star Song, my wife let me know one day that I was not being a very good employer, not being a very good supervisor. In fact, I was driving our employees crazy because I was really a bad delegator. I would delegate, and then I would either stand watching over their shoulder, correcting them as they did the work, driving them completely nuts, or when they would hand whatever the assignment was back to me, I would basically just take it apart and redo it. I couldn't trust anyone to do anything. I just couldn't do it. And she let me know that it was causing serious morale problems and we were going to start losing employees. Well, I have a dear friend of mine, Byron McWhorter, here. Byron, from Church in the City days back in Houston where I was ordained. We served as fellow elders there. Byron, one morning, Herschel Rosser, who was our pastor, asked us to break up into small groups on that Sunday and ask for prayer if we had anything we were struggling with. And I can't remember this couple's name. I was in a threesome with another couple. I hate when somebody says break up into small groups and ask for prayer. I don't want to get vulnerable. I definitely don't want to get vulnerable that quick, especially with somebody I don't know. And they said, well, what can we pray for you about? And I said, well, here's the story. I'm not being able to trust. I can't figure it out. I can't delegate and trust people to do things. The work they do is fine, but somehow I can't trust. I can't let it go. And one of them asked me, just the first thing that came to their minds, well, have you ever had anyone betray you or abandon you where you felt like you couldn't trust? And I said, the first thing that occurred to me was, well, when I was 13 years old, my father died suddenly. He didn't tell me goodbye. Of course, he couldn't have known he was going to have a heart attack that day. But I didn't get to tell him goodbye. He vanished out of my life. And I think that's why I have a hard time trusting. And they prayed for me. It was a very non-emotional transaction. They just prayed for me that the Lord would heal me and I would be able to trust again. And it was one of the true miracles in my life. My wife could attest to it. My associates at Star Song, my colleagues could attest to it. Something miraculous happened. And I began to be able to trust. When my father passed away, I had a really dear friend by the name of Frank. And I had stayed the night at Frank's house a lot of times. He had at my house. And Frank said to me, right after my dad died, he said, you know what, maybe I could share my dad with you. Well, it was a really sweet thing for him to say, but it didn't stir much in me because I wanted my daddy back, however nice a guy Frank's daddy was. You see, just before my father died, I was in eighth grade, just beginning to go into ninth, and they take you through that four-year, planning what your 4 years of electives are going to be. My dad had stayed up after dinner at the table with me several nights helping work through that four-year plan. What do you think you want to be? Well, you're going to need to take this. If you can't be that, what do you want to be then? Well, then you need to add one of these courses. Really cared about that. One of my nearly last memories of him, and I had told him, I said, well, I want to be a band director, I think, because I was playing horns in the band and loving that. Well, I never understood this until much later, but we were out on the, it was fall of 1962, we're out on the marching field getting ready for the show for the football game that weekend, and all of a sudden I see my dad show up on the sideline. And the band director goes over to him. Obviously, they had an appointment. And they go off to the band hall to talk, and the assistant band director took over the rehearsal. I didn't know what they were talking about at that moment, but I figured out later in life that what was happening is my dad heard his boy say he wanted to be a band director. He didn't know anything about being a band director or a career in music, and he went to the only place that he could find out how to support my boy, how to help him get to where he wants to go. And my last living memory of my father was the night before he died. He was up and gone to work the next morning before I left for school. My last living memory of him was he kissed me goodnight like he had every night of my life. And I didn't realize until many years later how unusual it was in 1962 for a man to kiss his 13-year-old boy goodnight. I've heard all kinds of horror stories about dads. And my dad wasn't a perfect man. He was a sinner being saved by grace, just like all the rest of us. But my daddy was a good man, and he loved me. There was no doubt about that. He lavished affection on us, however he knew to. And something that's occurred to me as I've heard horror stories about abusive dads, absent dads, dads who've abandoned either physically or emotionally or financially. Over and over again, I've thought, gosh, I wish I could share my daddy with those people. His heart was so full of love. He was such a good man. I wish I could share him. Obviously, I can't. He's gone now. I can share a story about him. Like Bird said, listen to the stories. And we've all got them. But there's better news. There is a man who has always been in perfect harmony and relationship with his Father, the Eternal Father. And he looked down at this earth and saw us with absent dads, abusive dads, dads who had abandoned us, dads who were doing the best they could, but they were fumbling the football and not really connecting with us, wounding us, sometimes by accident, whatever. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go share my Father with them. And he came and he did that. And his arms are open wide. And for all of us today who still have something unresolved in our stories, whether it's about our dad, whatever it is, in those memories, he who felt abandoned in Jerusalem at 12 years old, we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our difficulties. He was tempted in every way just like we are, but without sin. He felt abandonment, but it did not do a wound in him. He chose to believe that his earthly father was a good man. He came through that without sin. He knows what you feel. He knows the abandonment that you feel. Some years later, just on the outskirts of that city, he would feel abandoned by his heavenly Father. Why have you forsaken me? He sympathizes with what we have gone through and with what we feel. He overcame it all, and he looks at us and says, let me share my Father with you. Let me share him with you for all eternity. Everything I have is yours. And you can be completely restored in the Father's love. Let him into every area of your story. Let him sweep you up into his story. And may our whole world invite him into their story and be swept up into his story, that his kingdom may come and his will be done on heaven and in earth. Let's stand together for prayer.